Well, let's take our scriptures now and we'll go again to the letter, the first letter of John and chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're reading this evening 1 John chapter 2 verses 7 through 11. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you pleading that you would give us ears to hear. For apart from you, we can do nothing. Father, give us eyes to see. Because again, apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of your word. May it fall on no deaf ears here, but that all would receive it in faith and in love. For you, the Lord, God Almighty, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, these are the words of the living and true God. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Those are the words of the Lord. May he bless the reading and now the preaching of his word. We're being called by the Lord through John to be searching our hearts. It's the point of this book. As we heard last week, we're being asked the question, do we really know that we know God? Do we really know that we love God? Do we really know that we abide in God? Are those things true of us? The evidence that shows this forth is our keeping the commandments of the Lord, keeping the Word of God, walking after the manner of Christ. And if we do know God, love God, abide in God, then truly we, verse 7 of chapter 1, we are walking in the light as he himself is in the light. And so we're being called to search our hearts, our lives, to see if these things are true. But as last week our focus was on the Lord and our knowing, loving, abiding in him, now we're shown that those who are truly in the light, walking in the light, love also their brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're a believer, truly saved, and have eternal life, then you love God's people. And that is the focus of the verses before us. As we look at the first point this evening, we must consider the old and new commandment. Or the old and new commandments. The old and new commandments. Verse 7. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have heard, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. So the Lord, through John, is not bringing to our attention anything new here. This commandment goes all the way back to the beginning. So what is the commandment? It says very clearly what the commandment is. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. It goes back to Genesis 3:15, saying that verse, showing that verse again. To these believers, it goes back to the first time they heard the preaching of the gospel. The old commandment concerns the word of life. This book opened up saying what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested and we've seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life. The apostle had from the beginning heard, seen, handled, and testified to his hearers, just as they had heard from him, seen from him, handled from him, and testified. Heard, testified from him. It's not a new thing that John is talking about. It is old. Old as the first preaching of the gospel they've heard. He's not setting forth strange novelties or doctrines. What he's writing about is what you are believing. Your believing knowledge of the Word introduces you to, and that being the fellowship of light and joy with the Father and the Son. What great fellowship you have in Him as you walk in light, in the light as He is in the light. He's writing to you about the sacrifices, the sacrifice and advocacy of Jesus meeting with your sin and failures without which your light would always be dimming and taking away joy and marring the fellowship and our obligation of the sinless aim and obedient heart, Christ-like walk if you really know God. All that John is saying is old. It's no new discovery. It's no new revelation from heaven, from God. It's the same old story. Same gospel that was from the beginning. It is complete. That one is justified by faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation. And such a one who believes is adopted into the family of God and one who will be sanctified and then glorified. Then he goes to verse 8. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And first it says this is true in him, in Christ. As he was on the earth, he came to the earth in which he is light, and he entered into a world of darkness, a world of sin when he was and is pure righteousness, pure light. And he still is, always was, always will be pure light. Darkness was all around Jesus. The darkness of sin and its criminality and curse he made his own, taking it upon himself at the cross. And yet the true light is always shining upon him and in him and around him, for he is the light and the light of the Father's loving eyes bent upon his suffering Son. In him this darkness defeated, the light's always shining, destroying the darkness so that it passes away. The darkness is on its way to oblivion in which all the past lies buried because there is now a true light shining. Christ comes into the world. It is no longer a doubtful struggle between light and darkness. The seed of the woman bruises the seed or the head of the serpent. Darkness reared its head at the cross, but Jesus perseveres and light overcomes the darkness. In him, the true light is always shining. The light of conscious victory over the passing darkness. Thus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. But what is true in him must also be true in us, he says, and should be realized by us as true in us as in him. That is the new commandment referred to here. For we enter into the position of him, union with him, abiding in him, in whom that is true. If we walk after the manner of Christ, abiding in Him, union with Him, we enter into His position. And for us, it is a new position. It is new to everyone with whom the commandment finds acceptance and in whom it takes effect. We must grasp, realize the darkness in those who believe, and you who believe the gospel and the salvation, that the darkness is vanishing. It's passing away. And that the true light is now shining. It's not just a new commandment. It is new for you every moment, Christian. Not a one-time thing, but by a constant series of believing acts and exercises, you recognize that it is true in Him and in you. That the darkness is passing away and the true light is now already shining. But more particularly now, what does it mean that the darkness is passing away? It means that all that pertains to darkness, all that is allied to it, is passing. What is the darkness? It is the shutting out of God, generally speaking. The shutting out of God. For God is light. There's no darkness in Him. In whatever place or circumstance or company in which God is shut out, there is darkness. Perhaps we need to think more in those terms when we are out in the world and we're seeing in our presence God being shut out, not only in us, but in those around us. Is God being shut out here, not being spoken of here? Then there is darkness there. All around you is darkness and temptations and flatterings and enticing and trying you and threatening you, even in persecution. Worse than that, the darkness is within you in your own heart, in your own sinfulness. How do you treat that darkness, beloved? Do you grasp hold of it in any form? Do you long to abide in little parts of darkness just a little longer? Because if you're a true Christian, it's passing away from you. But are you grasping on as you are fleeing away? Are you like Lot's wife turning around? Are you lingering like Lot? Would it hurt you or cause distress to you to get rid of that darkness in any way and let them pass? Dealings with darkness you must resist in the Spirit. Even when darkness comes to you disguised as the angel of light, you must resist him. You must stand against the assaults of darkness, of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the shutting out of God must cease. God must be every single part of your life. We must ask ourselves, would we have it, the darkness to stay with us? Or would we have that darkness to pass away? Is the darkness of this world with its pursuits and pleasures and amusements, its seductions, associations, and customs, in which God is not, in which God is shut out, and therefore light is not, is the darkness your lingering friend or a stranger who is departing from you? A foe retreating. Is it still a friend or is it a stranger passing away? Is it true in you, as in Christ, that the darkness is passing away? Not merely to the darkness of this world that has such a hold on me and you, but that horrible darkness of your own shutting out of God, the darkness of your shutting out of God from your own conscious guilt and cherished sin. Is darkness passing from you? Are you freely letting it go? Or are you cleaving to it? Are you freely saying with the psalmist, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Are you trying to ignore that plea and trying still holding on to darkness? It says here that the darkness for the believer is passing away. It's not an option. It's a guaranteed promise from the Lord. The statement, the command that is new is a statement. The darkness is passing away. Is that truly your hope then? Your joy in the hour that it seems to be against you the most? And so here is the new commandment. It's given to the believer, to the Christian, a new power at the critical moment to realize it as a thing true in Christ, and therefore it is true in me, that this darkness is passing away. The reign of darkness over you, all the words of darkness, all the terrors of darkness, all the works of darkness, all the power of darkness working in you, they are passing away because you are in Christ Jesus. Those things are true of the Christian, the one who truly believes the gospel. Is that true of you? If it is true of you, you're being encouraged here to have assurance of salvation. But then it says, and the true light is already shining. This part also is true of Christ. We could probably understand this a lot more than the darkness part. And thus it is true of you. This is not something that is a reward to be reached or a benefit to be had after the darkness completely passes away. That doesn't make any sense. It is not a thing for the future only, but this is a present privilege that goes on and increases unto all eternity. It is a current possession of the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ. That which is true in Christ is true in you. And all the time the darkness is passing, the true light is already shining. And he even says that it's not just shining, but it's already shining. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." He's saying to the people of God to shine. You might even say it to be the lamp on the hill, not covered up by the basket. And that is the gospel call to the church, as we know, to every member in it. It is a great fact in you as in Christ that the true light already shines. And what a blessed reality that is to have God's loving eye upon you, your eye upon God, that is true light shining. And the fact that it is now shining while the darkness is passing is a thing which is to be recognized as true in you as it is in Christ. That is the new commandment, to recognize it, to see it. The new commandment being realized by you since you have believed the gospel. Commandment always new to your conscience. Seeing it more and more. Communicating an ever fresh experience filled with discoveries of our Lord who is light and who dwells in light. This is the Spirit that dwelled in Christ, dwelling also in you now. Showering upon your hearts the love of God and calling you to the simple response of obedient love in return. This light, again, that shines is not for the future only, but is now. It is always a new grace unto you in the Lord, from the Lord. And so here's the Lord's new assurance for each day. If you have truly believed the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation, have eternal life, then you have this new commandment, which is a great realization for you each day more and more, and that is, now just as in Christ, so in you, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Is it for you, Christian, that the old ways of thinking and feeling about the service of God before you believe the gospel, and the troubles of life, the terrors of death, the old ideas of God being a hard taskmaster and His commandments being grievous, the old spirit of bondage, the old rebelliousness that makes duty tiresome, even early in your Christian life, you saw this, and yet that darkness is passing away. Where self-denial is hard and labor thankless, and the whole doing of God's will is just routine and a dreary task, then be reminded of the word which is true. That which is true of Christ and of you, that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. This Christ who has preached since Genesis 3:15 and saw and heard throughout the whole of the Old Testament, and who was preached by the prophets and the apostles, is the same gospel to all and for all. The gospel preached to us is old, but the gospel realized in us is always new. And that is the old and new commandments. And finally, the commandment to love the brethren. That's the second and last point. Love the brethren. So now where's the proof? Where's the proof in you that as in Christ, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining? Where's the evidence to be found to prove or to give assurance that these things are truly so? The proof, the evidence, again, is found in whether or not you love the brethren. It was before. It still is, whether you keep the commandments. But here, another evidence is given of whether you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and saved unto eternal life and have the true light. Do you love the brethren, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Verse 9. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Again, we heard last week, you can profess all you want with your mouth and say that you're in the light. Darkness is passing away. You can do that. People of the world can do that. But none of that is true if you hate your brother. If you live towards your brother or sister in Christ in a hateful manner, one in which you do not love them. What is brotherly love? What is love for the brethren, those in Christ? And we'll see more definition as we go through the book. But generally now, a brotherly love sees that their brothers and sisters in Christ are also in the true light that is already shining, and the darkness is passing away from them as well. They'll see that in them. Or they'll see to it that it is true in them. And they'll proclaim the gospel to them, as we ought to be proclaiming the gospel to one another each day. You look around, you see others who are also in Christ. They at least profess to be in Christ. And there's evidence. They're abiding in Him. And they're receiving the same divine graces as you're receiving, as you love to serve Christ because of the true light shining. The love, you love to serve the brethren and things temporal, physical, helping them, being with people, but also spiritual. You're praying for them. You're pleading for them. You're defending them. But there are those who profess to love, who profess to be in the light, and yet hate the brethren. If you hate the brethren, then you're in the darkness. Even now, the darkness is not passing away. The darkness is fully constant and remaining. The darkness is fully past, but it's also fully present and continuing now into the future. It has not lessened by any degree. You still completely shut out God from your life. If that is true of you, you even come into the presence of God, at least come to worship, not being allowed in the presence of God, and you're still in darkness and you're shutting out God and your ears are stopped up. Verse 11. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going. And yet you've been told where you're going if you are here today. And you better understand, if you can hear, Lord willing, you'll hear now where you're going if you're hating your brother and therefore in the darkness and walking, living in the darkness. And you're going to the very pits of hell to suffer for your sin and be punished for all eternity. Christ's sacrifice is not for you. your sin not cleansed, your conscience still unclean before a holy God, if you hate the brethren, if you do not love the brethren? Is it possible to be in the light and have fellowship with God and yet hate your brother? It is not possible. But you can't escape that eternal punishment. If you come to the light, if you come to Jesus to be saved from your sin, if you are in the light, have fellowship with God, you must love your brother. That is the evidence that the darkness is passing away and the light already shining. Beloved, do you find yourself individually and personally embraced by the Lord, lifted up by Him out of darkness, out of your deep estrangement from God, into the light of God that shines bright? Do you see Him dealing with others who also at one time were your companions of darkness, dealing with them as He has done with you? Do you see Him embrace those He has dealt with as He has with you, embracing them, loving them, lifting them up out of the same dark dread and dislike of God and the same light of His love? Do you love the Lord who has you in His arms, keeping you so that it continues to be ever true in Him and in you, that the darkness is passing away, the true light is shining? Or do you still hate the one whom He has in His arms, as you are professing that He has you in His? Do you hate the one whom He is keeping out of darkness, causing the darkness to pass away, and who is in the light, and you're hating that one, the brother or sister who is in Jesus Christ? It cannot be that way, John says. You're hating your brother and sister in Christ is a hating of the Lord Himself. And so even when there are instances where the darkness creeps up in us and we murder in our hearts towards our brother and sister in Christ, we show bitterness towards them, we have anger towards them, it is an action of us showing forth the darkness that remains, that we are hating the Lord and not loving Him. The Scripture says the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. If you hate the brethren, or if you have little times of anger and frustration towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, even grievous thoughts towards about them to in your heart, and turn now to the one you have often refused, and yet the one who you love and profess to love, Christian. Turn to Him and cause and plead with Him that He would take the rest of the darkness away. And if you hate the brethren, always do hate the brethren, and you're always angry towards them, or at least you don't love them actively, then you have not only refused the Lord, but you have scorned Him and rejected Him. Plead with Him. Turn to Him now and plead with Him that He would deliver you from this present darkness that clouds your mind, in which you are blind in your mind and heart, so that He will bring you into the light and shine down upon you the unending rays of grace that His people have. Verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. The exercise of loving the brethren shows forth that you are abiding in the light. Being in the light, which is God, being in the light brings forth brotherly love. And brotherly love secures abiding in the light. For the one who loves his brother abides in the light. The light is already shining upon him. If the light is already shining upon you, then there is no cause for stumbling in you. Because you are secure. There is security, eternal security, assurance of salvation here is offered To you, beloved, who love the brethren, you need not stumble over whether you have eternal life. Investigate yourself. Search within. Do you love the brethren? If you do, you abide in the light and you have eternal life. And there will be times, beloved, when you fall into sin, when you will be jealous, you have jealous thoughts over your brother or sister in Christ, you'll be angry and murder in your heart towards your brother or sister in Christ, or your husband and wife who's a believer, even the brother you may love may also at the same time be an offense to you. An occasion to stumble, you may say. But such cases are not occasions to stumble within, to stumble to the point of doubting your life in Jesus Christ. But rather you'll see, if you're a believer, a true believer, you'll see ample evidence of a longing to love that brother or sister in Christ, even though it's a struggle for you. You'll see ample evidence of your loving the brethren in other places, with other people, even those who perhaps are hard to love. And you're growing in that. You'll see that. You'll see the darkness passing away and it more and more, and a true light already shining, of which you will realize more and more each day as you receive the wonderful grace of our Lord God. And so you are called here to not stumble, but you're encouraged to, if you truly are in the light, as He is in the light, the darkness passing away, the light shining already, you're loving the brethren. And you're being encouraged here again to have assurance of your salvation. For these are evidences that you are God's people and you are in the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these evidences that you show to us. All things which we struggle with from time to time, if we are your people, and yet things we are growing in and becoming that darkness passing away more and more. We praise you that you are the God who enables us to put that darkness away from us. That you actually work it in us to put to death sin, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. You're the God who causes the light to shine in us. Because there is no light that originates within us. You are working that light in us because the light is of you. And so, Father, we ask that you would reveal that to us. If we are confused, if we are your people, doubting our salvation causes us to see these evidences. And yet, Father, we also ask that you would not give us a false assurance, where you might be deceived in seeing these evidences, and yet they're really not there. And we're actually blinded in our eyes. We truly do hate the brethren. And Father, then send your Spirit and shine a dark into the darkness of bright light of your Son, Jesus Christ. And save us from eternal damnation, that we may have eternal life and have that fellowship of joy in you, the Father, and in your Son, and even in the Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.